You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 20 May. Local results today, Netcare, Baldwin, Famous Brands and Astral. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. Richemont results and, of course, a new CEO. But flipping through charts over the weekend, we were in a bull market, left, right and center. Global indices at or near all-time highs. Petli Radenhuis from Herenia Capital Advisors. Copper's surging to new all-time highs. Where can we get exposure? And then we're going to be talking emerging trends in agricultural machinery. How can that tell us around the trends going forward? This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. SA rides on a wave of investor cash before the election. Stocks at 15-month highs. Rand is one of only five emerging market currencies to strengthen this year. Those 15-month highs, we're almost all-time highs. Business day, S&P leaves SA's credit rating and outlook unchanged. The decision was widely expected by analysts and economists. Morning markets. The US was mixed. S&P up 0.1%. NASDAQ was down 0.1%. Over in the east, it is green. Sydney up 0.4%. Tokyo up 1.4%. Hong Kong up 0.4%. And Tencent up a few cents, 0.001%. Commodities, green. Gold, $2,438 an ounce. Brent, $8,403. Platinum, $1,102. And palladium, $1,026. Rand, $1,816. Bitcoin, $65,500. Top 40 opening call. Looking for a green open, about 240 points, a third of a percent higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, as always, appreciate the early morning. As I said, the Richemont numbers, which came out on Friday, my sense is, I mean, I don't think they particularly knocked it out the park, although they did set records left, right and center. But perhaps relative to some of their peers who are saying that they're seeing luxury slowing, they were much better maybe than the market was expecting. And certainly the stock moved a whole lot higher.
Yeah, morning, Simon. The results, I don't think, were too bad. As you said, the big three, which is LVMH, which is miles above everyone else, and then Richemont second, and Kering, which is the owner of Gucci. All of them have been sort of warning a little bit that things are slowing, and certainly the China effect. But Richemont, I thought they're okay. I mean, they do show that consumer demand is starting to slow, and I guess that's to be expected. But sales up 8% year on year in constant currencies, and a little bit of slowdown. But overall, pretty decent. Some of the jewelry divisions grew actually double digits, so pretty decent.
Yeah, no, some good numbers coming out there, and certainly relative. Also, a new CEO, Nicholas, I think it's Boss, is it? I think, stepping in. I mean, this sort of thing happens. I mean, Johan Rupert will still sort of, as the chair, have him reporting to him. So I suppose this is what happens with companies.
Yeah, it is what happens. And look, I mean, Johan Rupert's involvement, I mean, you know, it has been pressure from some shareholders saying he needs to sort of take a step back and have someone a little more independent. And as you said, this is what happens. And I guess his involvement, or his executive involvement, will diminish a little bit. But that Mr. Nicholas Boss, as you said, or Bosch, however you pronounce it, he was previously the CEO of Van Cleef & Arpels. And that actually, if you look at the numbers, Simon, that's been the group's best performing sort of division for well over a decade. So, I mean, I think that appointment insider is pretty encouraging, and I think they'll continue to perform well.
Yeah, and that was an excellent pronunciation of whatever Van Cleef & Arpels. A follow-up question, changing track tightly. I was looking through charts over the weekend. We've got all-time highs all over the place. If we look at indices, I mean, the US hit them on Wednesday. We've got over in Asia, even China, not at highs, but rallying. Europe, I mean, we're in an equity bull market, which is weird with high inflation and interest rates.
Yes, yes, be careful. As lofty valuations, they are very, very high, these markets. And not only is that, I mean, you know, we see it last week. We started the week with sort of these new Chinese tariffs from the US.
Yeah.
I saw a headline that Russia taking more steps into the Ukraine, advancing and all the rest of it. And yet the market seems to shrug off the geopolitics. And valuations are getting, as I said, fairly lofty. Are we a new bull market? It's certainly difficult to argue against the trend. I mean, anywhere from the UK to Europe to even Hong Kong now, well above 20%, which signifies a bull market from its lows. And the South African market, I mean, maybe Simon this week we'll get 80,000. Maybe we'll get that print finally out the way. Look, we can't, you know, got to enjoy these things when they run. But one has to be said, you know, we are sort of primed to perfection. And I just wonder this Wednesday night after the close, well, after the US close, we have NVIDIA's earnings, and
yeah,
that has been the poster child that has set the tone for the tech stocks. I just wonder if that might you know, set the tone either up or downside the next couple of weeks.
And I take your point around the be careful. I take your point around lofty valuations. But I can't help thinking that one time when Jerome Powell walks out of the Federal Reserve building and says they've cut rates, things are going to go crazy.
Things are going to go crazy. But the other side, you know, he sees what's going on in the market, or you hope he does. All-time highs everywhere around. I mean, we're getting sort of meme stocks back once again, market pushing high. You just think, like, well, you know, monetary policy is clearly not tight enough, contrary to what the Fed has to say.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if he is going to cut rates, but the market is pricing in a rate cut. Inflation is rolling over, and I guess for now, the point of least resistance is clearly to the upside for equities.
Yeah, that's the point. It's the path of least resistance. Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth, appreciate the early morning.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Joining now with Petri Radenhurst from Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, appreciate the early morning. Copper, or Dr. Copper, as they often like to call it for all sorts of reasons. I mean, it's a wild stock. I'm looking at a 20-year chart. I mean, in 2008, it rallied from, went up sort of 3x. It is going strong again. It's trading at all-time highs. We can either look at the price per pound or per ton, but they both come to the same place. How do we, as South Africans sitting here, get some exposure to copper? You're always the one who manages to find us weird and wonderful stocks and ETFs.
Good morning, Simon. Thank you for chatting to me, or for having me. So yeah, copper trading at all-time highs. I think just a brief little bit of history. We saw in recent times that the London Metals Exchange banned all sort of metals from Russia from trading on their exchange. And what do you know? Prices of metals go up, right? So it's amazing what happens when a large portion of supply in the market is not allowed to come to market, then suddenly prices adjust, right? So I think that's, you know, part of the reason why we're seeing copper prices essentially at the highs. So how do we as South Africans get exposure to that? I think it's important to start off with saying, don't chase prices that have run up the page, right? It's already run extremely hard. You know, maybe there's a bit more, you know, VUMA in it. Maybe it keeps going a little bit, but it's very likely that there might be a bit of a breather at some point, and that would be your opportunity then to buy. I think our view at Herenia has been one that is quite bullish commodities in general for the last while. So we would be encouraging of copper exposure, but we want to just warn, you know, trade with caution. Don't necessarily just chase after it. Wait for a decent opportunity to get into essentially the commodity. How do you get access to it? Well, locally you can buy the Anglos and the Billitons. These are good diversified miners that will give you exposure to it. Billiton particularly. Anglo also is a very good favorite, I suppose. Anglos is a bit of a challenge now. is it going to be bought out? Is it not? Is there more upside to be had? Is there not? So it's a bit of a challenging one. So Billiton is probably the safer bet between those two. In the offshore world, you have three options that we would recommend. Well, one that we prefer. So full disclosure, we do hold this for managed clients, which is the Global X Copper Miners ETF, also COPX, C-O-P-X, listed on a New York Stock Exchange. It's an ETF of about $1.5 billion worth of assets invested in it. And it's essentially a global copper miners ETF. So that's our preferred one. If you want, and again, that's exposure to the mining industry, the copper miners, right? So COPX. If you want exposure to just the copper price or the futures copper price, you know, copper futures price, you've got two options. The United States Copper Index ETF, or the iPath Series Bloomberg Copper Sub-Index Total Return ETN. These are super long names. but essentially, the iPath Bloomberg Copper Total Return Index or the United States Copper Index. So the tickers for those, both listed in New York, is CPER, which is the United States Copper Index, or JJC, which is the Bloomberg Copper Sub-Index Total Return. So JJC, that second one. And they're quite small compared to the first. It's $137 million and $37 million, respectively. So our preference at this stage is, as mentioned, COPX, the Global X Copper Miners ETF at $1.5 billion under management. And that backs essentially copper mining companies throughout the world.
I take your point, and to your the names are absolute mouthfuls. I take your point around, let's be careful here. Don't chase things that are hearing off into the stratosphere. 100% on that. But second to that, ETFs strike me as perhaps an easier way to do it. I mean, notwithstanding there's Anglo, there's even that Copper 360 locally. I just like more idea around a particular basket. I mean, take Anglo, sure, they've got a lot of copper in there, but they've also got all the other bits and pieces as well. Some of it PGMs, which are flying this morning, but could suddenly stop.
Yeah, so the ETF is a much, I want to say, well, it's simultaneously more focused on the individual commodity that you want to be invested in, while it is also more diversified than just having Anglo's exposure or just having Copper 360 exposure, right? You could do a mixture of mining companies yourself. You know, another great option is a company called Freeport McMoRan. Which is also listed in the offshore world. Freeport McMoRan is like the world's biggest copper miner, right? They're a wonderful point of exposure if you want exposure to, you know, a concentrated bet, if you will. But if you do want a bit more of a diversified, you know, lower risk type access point into it, the ETF, I think, is a great way of doing it, which is why we hold that ETF.
Yeah, no, agreed on that, and it gives you the little more breadth. We'll leave it there. Petri Redenhead, Serenia Capital Advisors, always coming to help us with the weird and wonderfuls. And this time it is copper. Appreciate the time this morning. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. It is trading at all-time highs. There is some caution there, but do you have copper exposure? Perhaps you're already in. Perhaps you've missed a bus. Perhaps you're going to get a second chance as it pulls back. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Paul McCubby. He is senior agricultural economist at FNB Commercial. Paul, appreciate the early morning time. Agricultural equipment sales, certainly 2022, if we go all the way back to there, was an especially strong year. A bit of a pullback last year. This year, sales are looking fairly weak in many senses. The SA Agricultural Machinery Association, we've got combined harvesters down 60% in terms of year to date. We've got tractors off almost 24% year to date. What's this telling us from an agricultural perspective when we see agricultural equipment sales coming under pressure?
Yeah, thanks for having me and good morning. Yeah, there's the signs of the times, but I think in a nutshell, in this sector, it's actually market correction after the boom that we had with machinery sales, underpinned by a robust agricultural output over the past 3 years, largely weather related and strong commodity prices during that period. So and relatively a low interest rate during that time, we saw a massive upward adjustment of interest rate in the past 2 years, and have been relatively sticky on the upside, which has constrained producers in terms of access to credit.
And is that, I mean, that makes perfect sense, that when times are really good, and to your point, not only were the commodity prices high, we also had good yields in South Africa, we also had low rates, you sort of go out and you see a lot more purchases, and now they're just tougher. I mean, the farmers are still out there farming, but they simply don't have the spare cash, perhaps. And truthfully, many of them got new tractors and combined harvesters just a few years ago, and perhaps also aren't in the market for more.
Yeah, exactly, and that is a cycle that has to do with it has to do with the agricultural cycle. We were on a down cycle. If you look at the agricultural GDP output plunging in 2023, 12% down, and those are the signs that the farmers are not necessarily in a good shape in terms of the finances. They are not down and out, but not as fantastic that will allow them to actually continue on a rally with purchases and replenishment of machinery and equipment.
It was Nampo last week. You were apparently there. What was the sense from farmers? I mean, certainly, as we've both said, there was a boom time. It's a little tougher now. Some of the crops are having some El Nino effect there. A general sense from the agricultural community?
Well, it's always buoyant, despite challenges over the years. We've seen that in terms of hardship, they conglomerates, the mood was upbeat, and the fact that the El Nino that we had is a once off event. We are now in neutral conditions, as the forecasters are indicating, and the indications so far are that we are now heading into a La Nina year, which means we are back to those conditions about 2-3 years ago, of relatively good production conditions that will actually boost crops. So we are now in a strong commodity environment on the back of this El Nino that ravaged crops during January, February, and going into 2024-25, we're likely to see a rebound in production as farmers take advantage of the strong prices, as well as favorable production conditions. So and on the outlook for interest rates as well, indications are that we are likely to see a slight accommodation on the interest rate front. So we're likely to see the cycle turning, and not as robust as the previous 2 years, but we're likely to see that rebound in activity on that on the machinery front. Yeah.
Take your point, and it's frankly good news that El Nino was just a 1 year event. Sometimes it sort of lingers and can last forever. We can get back to some normality. We'll leave that there. That's Paul Mkhubi. He's a senior agriculture economist, FNB Commercial. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. On Friday, I was talking around the importance of annual general meetings, AGMs, and we asked if you attend AGMs of stocks that you hold. Two-thirds of you said couldn't be bothered. Wowza. Fifth said when you can. The rest were saying if it's virtual, yes. And I got to say, the virtual certainly does help, although it still sometimes clashes with other activities and events. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokhle, Nicole Masekla, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow. Chris Skitter, Astral Results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.